Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to podcast number two on the iPod Touch. Wow. Thanks to everybody who's sent me email and told me how much you've enjoyed the first podcast. It's much appreciated. And that's kind of what inspired this second one. A couple of you had some things that you wanted me to cover, which I will try my best to do. And there are some other things I definitely want to show you in this one. I've gotten a little better on my typing on the touch, and we'll be doing some things that require us to type. Here's kind of what I want to cover in this one. Of course, the iPod, one of its big things is music. So I'm going to show you how to send music to your iPod Touch and iPhone. This all applies to the iPhone as well, because again, they are very similar. It's a little different than what you might be used to with other devices. Admittedly, I don't use mine for music all that much, just because I prefer the mass storage way of doing things, so I still use my cell phone and my Victor Stream for a lot of that. But I will show you how to do it. The way Apple, you know, does it is a little bit different. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just different, and it does take a little getting used to. So I will show you that. I will show you how to download apps. There is an app that I actually want to put on my iPod Touch. It's a free app, and I've actually waited for this podcast to do it so I can show you that. Voice memos, how to record those. We can look at that. The weather application that's built in. I can show you that. And there's a couple of third-party apps that I've downloaded that I want to show you. So we got a lot to cover on this one. So it might be, again, kind of a long one. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, let's start out with the music aspect of the iPod and how you transfer music to your iPod Touch or iPhone. In order to do that, you do use iTunes, usually. And there are a couple of things that you do have to get used to. With a lot of other players, like, you know, cell phones, and if you use like a Victor Stream or something like that, you can just, you know, encode the files, and then you can just copy them over to the device. It shows up as a drive, and you can just copy them over. Now, iTunes will do that for you. It will, you know, encode your files, so you can do that if you wish, and that's how I usually do it when I transfer it to other devices. But the way the iPod Touch does it is you actually have to sync the content of your iTunes library then with the iPod Touch or iPhone. And the other thing that you have to get used to is in most other devices, again, like the Victor and cell phones and that type of thing, it usually sorts the songs, at least if you open them from the file manager, it sorts them, you know, by the file name. It sorts them alphabetically just like it does on a computer. Well, with the iTunes library and the iPod, your songs are sorted by the media tag. And I believe iTunes will tag them for you if you import a CD. And that's actually what I'm going to show you today, is we're going to import a CD into iTunes and then transfer that to the iPod Touch. But if you have some songs maybe that you've downloaded from the internet or, you know, gotten from other places, or even, you know, made yourself on other, you know, programs, if the media tag isn't there, or if it's, you know, different, your sort order will be a little different than what you may expect. So, again, some things to get used to with that. So, what I'm going to do here is I am sitting at my Macintosh computer. And by the way, I am going to hopefully record podcast number 12 for the Macintosh here very soon. So stay tuned for that, for those of you who are interested.
Macintosh HD.
All right. Volume. I am sitting on my desktop on my Macintosh, and what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and open up iTunes, and then I'm going to go ahead and insert this CD that I've got here. So let's go ahead and press Control F3 to go down to the dock.
Web dock. WebKit. 7 of 25.
And press I for iTunes.
iTunes. 5 of 25.
And press Enter.
iTunes. Finder. iTunes, window, iTunes, sources, table, one row selected.
Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and insert this CD that I've got. I went ahead and took one from my CD collection, and this one, I believe, is going to be, it's a Time Life CD, which, by the way, if you're a music lover, Time Life has a lot of great collections. But this one, I believe, is Sounds of the 80s, 1982. So that's what this disc is. So I'm just going to take it out of its case and pop it into my Mac. This Macintosh has a front slot loading drive, so I will just put the disc up to it, and it should eventually detect it and pull it the rest of the way inside. There we go. It has taken it out of my hand, and it will take a second. What it will do is, and a lot of programs, of course, do this, it will scan the disc and then go out to the internet to find the different songs that are on it and the names of them and all that good stuff. So it's doing that now, and this should just take a second. All right. Let's see what's selected for my source here.
One row selected. Column 1 of 1. Sounds of the 80s. 1982. Disc playlist.
Okay. So there we are. That's where we are. It has recognized the disc. Now, before we actually import this CD, let me show you how you can adjust how the songs are encoded. You have several choices for file formats and that type of thing, and that can certainly come in handy if you want to use iTunes to import music to other players, you know, as well, or to your Victor or something like that. MP3 is a good choice. That's what I would recommend, but you have some other choices also. So let's go into the iTunes preferences for a moment, and to do that, on the Macintosh, we do a command comma.
Preferences, dialog, general, general.
All right, now let's go ahead and use the navigation keys here with VoiceOver. I don't remember exactly where this setting is, because I haven't changed it in a while, so we may have to look around a little bit here to find it.
Toolbar. Library name. Microego's library. Edit. Show. Movies. Unchecked. Applications. Checked. Oh, cancel. Help. But check for new software updates automatically. Check.
Just checkbox. Browsing around here.
Automatically retrieve CD track names for internet. Check. Checkbox. Import settings. Button.
Oh, there it is. Okay, import settings. Let's go ahead and select that.
Press dialog, import settings, import using MP3 encoder, pop-up button.
Okay, so that's a pop-up button, which for those of you who use Windows who may not use the Mac, a pop-up button is very much like a combo box. So we'll select that, and that'll give us a little, like a pop-up menu where we can choose what formats, and I'll just go ahead and show you what's here.
MP3 encoder menu, five items, WAV encoder.
Okay, WAV, that would take quite a bit more space if you use that.
Check mark, MP, Apple lossless encoder.
Apple lossless encoder, I've never tried that one. So I'm not sure how, I'm sure it's pretty good though.
AIFF encoder.
AIFF, I think that's a fairly large file format also. It takes quite a bit of space.
AAC encoder.
AAC, that's the default iTunes format, I think. At least I'm pretty sure it is. Okay, I don't want to change this. I want to keep it at MP3, and I think that's still checked. Let's see.
AI Apple check mark MP3 encoder.
It is, so I'm just going to press Escape to get out of there.
Closing menu.
And let's see what else we've got here.
Setting. High quality, 160kbps pop-up button.
And we got another combo box here. I've got mine set to 160k for the encoding, but I'll show you what else is here.
Menu. Four items. Check mark. High quality, 160kbps. Good quality, 128kbps. Check, higher quality, 192kbps. Custom, ellipsis.
And we can actually do a custom there, but we won't go into that. I'm going to leave it set at 160k. That's a pretty good size, and the quality is very good. So I'm just going to press Escape to get out of there.
Closing menu, high quality, one, details, 80kbps, mono, 160kbps, stereo, joint stereo, optimized for MMXSSE, using MP. Use error correction when reading audio CDs. Uncheck checkbox.
Use error correction. I had that on originally, but it does slow the audio encoding down quite a bit, and I haven't found a problem with turning that off, so you can probably keep that unchecked.
Use this option if you experience problems with the audio quality from audio CDs. This may reduce the speed of importing.
Yeah, and it does reduce it quite a bit. I have noticed that. That's why I turned it off.
Note, these settings do not apply to songs downloaded from the iTunes Store.
No, it wouldn't, because those are already set in a format.
Help button. Cancel. Okay.
All right, let's just hit Escape to cancel out of here.
General.
Library. Let's hit escape again to close the preferences.
Sources. Table. One row selected. Column. One of one. Sounds of the 80s.
Okay. So, we're back on the main iTunes window, sitting on that source. Now, what we want to do here is import this CD, and that's going to tell iTunes to go ahead and encode this CD, and convert the files, and put them on the hard drive, and put them in the iTunes library. You can choose to encode particular songs, too, if you want to. You can actually go down to the songs table and select and unselect each song individually, I think. But in this case, I'm just going to go ahead and do the whole CD. So to do that, the Import CD button is toward the bottom of the window. So I'm just going to use the VoiceOver command to go to the bottom of the window.
18 songs, 1.1 hours, 684.3 megabytes.
And it gives us the status info at the bottom of the disk. Let's just move to the left here.
Show artwork button. No repeat button. Do not shuffle button. New playlist button. Import CD button.
And that's what we're going to select. You can also, you know, make a whole new playlist with that if you select that option. So I'm going to go ahead and just select the Import CD button here.
Press Import CD button.
And the CD drive has taken off. And it is doing its thing, encoding this CD. And like I say, this will save the MP3 files, and then they will be in your iTunes library. Or, again, you can, you know, exit iTunes and go copy the files to any other device that you may want, which I do that quite a bit, since, again, I use either the Victor or my cell phone a lot of times for music playback. But this is going to take a couple of minutes, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording here until this finishes encoding, and then we will go ahead and sync this with the iPod Touch so I can show you how the music app works. And then, of course, we'll delve into some other things on the iPod Touch itself. So a lot of good things coming up. All right, I'll go ahead and pause this, and we will pick it up after it's done importing the disc. All right, we are back on the recording here. Probably about 8 or 9 minutes have passed since I paused that. So I took the opportunity while that was encoding to go ahead and read a few email messages. You can do other things while iTunes encodes your discs. And I'm not sure on Windows because I've never used it. I never used iTunes on Windows, but certainly on the Mac it doesn't interfere with the speech or anything like that because the Macs have a dual-core processor in them, and they hum along quite nicely. Okay, so the CD is done encoding. I'm going to go ahead and eject that disk because I don't need to keep that in the drive anymore. To do that on the Mac, we do a Command-E.
iTunes Biz Sources Table, one row selected, column, one of one, Music Library Playlist.
Okay, and it said the source because the source for the CD no longer exists because the disk has been ejected. All right. So what we will do here, actually, I'll show you what has happened before we sync this with the iPod Touch. Let me just do a Command Tab here to go back to the Finder. For those of you who have not heard my Mac podcasts, that's all right. Command Tab on the Mac is similar to what Alt Tab does in Windows. It switches applications. And the Finder.
Finder, desktop.
Is kind of your starting point on a Mac. All right, I want to open my home folder. And to do that, we do Command-Shift-H. We'll do that.
Home, now in window, Microego.
And I believe the folder is just called iTunes. Let's see.
Sites, collect public, collect library, collapsed, library, collect downloads, documents, collect downloads, doc desktop.
Or actually, it's music, I believe. Music.
Doc library, movies, collapsed, music, collapsed.
Here we go. Let's open that.
Open in this window. List view, iTunes, collapsed.
And there's only one folder. Let's go in there.
Open in this window. List view, table, album artwork, collapsed, iTunes library. iTunes library, extras, iTunes library, genius, itdb. iTunes music collapsed.
That's where we need to go. Let's go ahead and open that.
Open in this window. List view table. Music collapsed.
And now we have another folder called music. We'll go in there.
Open in this window. List compilations collapsed.
And one more folder. It does a pretty deep folder structure.
Open in this window. List view table. Sounds of the 80s underline 1982 collapsed.
Now what iTunes does is it puts each album in its own folder. So if you were going to copy this to another device like a Victor or a cell phone and you wanted to keep it organized, you could just, you know, copy that folder at this point and all the files would be there. The one caveat I've found with that is if you have like a compilation disc and there's a duet on that CD with someone else, what iTunes will do sometimes is it'll put that song in its own separate folder. I'm not sure why it does that, and I haven't found a way around that yet, but it is something to be aware of. And usually when it names the tracks, it just puts like one and then the name of the song. It doesn't put the artist as part of the track because it assumes that that you're already in that folder, which that is something I had to get used to because before I really got into iTunes, I used a Nero in Windows to do all my encoding, and that one does do the artist and the title by default. So anyway, I did want to show you at least on the Mac where the songs are located. Let's go ahead and close this window with Command W.
Close window, now in desktop.
And let's Command Tab back to the iTunes app.
iTunes, window.
All right, what I'm going to do here is fire up the iPod Touch. Just hold the lock, unlock button at the top, and the screen is lit up and it is booting up. Actually, I think if you plug the USB cable in directly too, it'll also power it up that way. But just go ahead and press the power button here, and it's booting.
9:07.
All right, and it says the time. And the iPod Touch, of course, when it boots up, again, the screen is locked. And you have to unlock it before you can actually navigate, but we don't need to navigate at this point. What I want to do is go ahead and connect this. So, the USB cable is already connected to my Mac. I'm just going to plug...
Screen locked.
And it says screen locked. I'm just going to plug the other end of this into my iPod Touch.
9:07.
And it makes a little sound to acknowledge that. Okay. So let me see where I'm at here as far as my sources now.
One row selected, column 1 of 1, music, library,
okay.
Playlist.
I'm still in the music playlist. I need to get down to my iPod Touch. Now, because I got it called Mike Arrigo's iPod, if I just type MI, it should get us down there. Let's see. Okay, let's see.
One row selected, column 1 of 1, Mike Arrigo's iPod, device, collapsed.
All right, let's just go ahead and navigate down to the... content of this.
Vertical splitter, iPod settings, scroll area. New playlist, iPod settings, scroll area.
Let's interact with that.
Interact with iPod settings, scroll area. Applications, radio button, summary, select music, radio button 3 of 8.
That's where we need to go. Let's go ahead and select that.
Press music, radio button 3 of 8. Movies, photo, info, sync music. Check sync music. Check box.
Okay, that's for what you want to sync when, you know, syncing the music, and that is checked, which you would want that in this case.
Sync entire music library. Selected radio button. Sync selected playlists, artists, and genres, radio button.
And I've got it set to do the entire library and keep it simple.
Include music videos. Check box.
Include music videos. You can check that or uncheck it if you don't want it. I don't have any, so it wouldn't matter in this case.
Include voice memos. Check box.
Well, you can transfer those to your computer, I guess, if they're on your touch.
Capacity bar section. Sync button.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and sync this. Now, there is a setting also you can set whether it automatically syncs when you connect it, and I have disabled that because I don't always want it to do that necessarily. So I have turned that off, and there is an option for that. I think it's under the summary, I think. It's under, we can check for sure, but anyway... I'm going to go ahead and select the sync button here, and that should transfer that CD then over to the touch. Let's go ahead and select that.
Press sync button.
And the iPod Touch says sync in progress. And it's going to do its thing here.
Sync, dim, capacity bar section. Include voice memos, check capacity bar section.
Let's just see what that is. Oh, is that done already? Wow.
Sync, dim button.
No, it's still, because it dinged. But it looks like it's still thinking here.
Capacity bar section. Sync button.
Oh, it looks like it is done. Okay.
Capacity bar section.
Let's see what the capacity says now.
Interact with capacity. Audio 77.8 megabytes.
Audio, yeah. It does have 77 megabytes. That's about right, so.
Capacity 29.28 gigabytes. Audio 77.8 megabytes. Apps 159.4 megabytes. Other 208.9 megabytes. Free 28.85 gigabytes.
Okay, there we go. All right, so we are done with that. We can go ahead and disconnect this now, because the sync is complete.
Stop interacting with iPod settings, scroll area.
And there we are. 9/11. And it goes back to the time screen, and the screen is still locked, of course. All right, so we have done that, and the audio should now be on the iPod Touch. I'm going to go ahead and pause this recording again just for a moment, because I am going to go ahead and delete these songs from the iTunes library. I'm not going to keep those in there at this point. So I'll go ahead and do that. And then we will come back, and we will go ahead and demonstrate the music playing on the iPod Touch, along with all of the other things that I mentioned. Okay, so I will be right back. All right, so we're back on the recording here, and I went ahead and deleted those songs out of my iTunes library. Okay, so what we've got here then, I'm just going to do a quick review here for those of you who may not have caught the first podcast. The way you navigate this, because there is no, of course, physical buttons except for the home button and then volume keys and the button to lock and unlock the device. You touch a part of the screen and it will speak whatever your finger touches. And then if you want to actually open that item, you double tap anywhere on the screen and that will essentially activate the last item that was spoken. You can also swipe your finger left and right on the screen, and that will go to the, well, left goes to the previous item, right goes to the next item on the screen. The other way you can activate items, I don't use this method because I find that I accidentally activate things that I don't mean to, but if you leave your finger on the last item that was spoken and then you touch the screen with another finger, it will also activate it, the last item that was spoken. But I prefer the double tap method because like I say, I find I activate things accidentally if I use the split tap, as it's known as. But anyway, so those are the basic navigation keys, or the navigation gestures that we use. Swipe left and right and touch, you know, at different parts of the screen. There are some others that we will use as they're needed, but those are the basic ones. So what I need to do to get into play this music is to get into the iPod application. Actually, I think it's called Music on here, too. So what we need to do, I'm going to press the lock, unlock, slash power key. If you hold the button in for like 2 or 3 seconds, it serves as the power key. I'm going to press that.
9:17.
And it gives us the time. Now, we need to get to the unlock on the screen, and that is on the bottom right of the screen. So I'm just going to touch that.
Unlock button.
Unlock. And
double tap to unlock.
And it'll give you hints. It says double tap to unlock, so I'm just going to double tap the screen.
Unlock. Fail.
All right.
Double tap to open.
Now, the application we need to get to play these songs, I think, is toward the bottom. So I'm just going to, again, touch the bottom right of the screen.
App Store.
Okay, let's go ahead and swipe to the left now to move back.
Safari. Videos. Music.
Music. That's where we want to go. Let's double tap that. And it goes to landscape mode. So I'm going to turn it, I'm going to turn the iPod horizontally because when it's in landscape mode, then for the swipe left and right to work, you turn it horizontally. So I'm going to do that, and then let's go ahead and flick to the left and right here and see what we've got.
Play, button, track list, button.
Track list. I haven't done a whole lot with this, playing music on the iPod, so this is much a learning experience for me as it is, you know, for those who may not have the device for this particular application. Okay, all we've really got here.
Various artists. Sounds of the 80s. 1982.
Various artists?
Landscape.
Okay.
Play. Button. Various artists.
Yeah, so I think if we just double tap on that, either that or the play button,
various
let's do
artists.
This.
Various artists. 3. Shake it up. 3. 36.
And there's our tracks. So I think if we move left and right here, let's see.
4. Freeze frame. 4. 3. 2. Who can it be now? 3. 1. Mickey. 3. 30.
So Mickey, that's a good one. This is Sounds of the 80s, 1982. I don't know if I mentioned that. Okay. Let's go. I'll tell you one of my favorite songs on this CD is Heat of the Moment by Asia. That's a great song. And I think that's track 5. Let's go ahead and move over to that one.
2, 3, 4, 5. Heat of the Moment. 3:51.
All right. And I think if we double tap it, it should play it. Let's see.
Various artists.
Okay, we can turn the volume up a little.
Okay, iPod, Asia, Heat of the Moment, Sounds of the 80s, 1982.
Now the audio quality on the built-in speaker, it's decent, but to get the best, to really get the best sound quality, though, you're going to want to use headphones for this. All right, let's go ahead and stop this.
Portrait, capital P, Asia, Heat of the Moment, Sounds of the 80s, 1982. Landscape.
Okay, this thing, it does tend to switch between portrait and landscape, and sometimes it can be frustrating if you just turn it a certain way. It's... Okay. Go ahead and pause that. What it does, too, when it's going to speak something to you with voiceover, it will lower the audio of the music so you can hear that. So that's kind of how you can pause, and I think there's other buttons in here, too. Let's see.
Portrait.
This thing keeps wanting to switch between portrait and landscape. I haven't found a way around that other than to just be careful how you hold it and try not to jostle it too much. I'm not sure. Well, when you're playing a song, you probably want to lock the screen anyway if you're going to be running with it or something like that.
Portrait.
Okay. So.
Landscape.
Let's do this.
Play. Button. Track list.
Okay, so we're back in the track list again.
Various artists.
Okay. So that's just a basic demonstration of how the music playing works.
Shows the tracks.
Yeah, shows the tracks. It's got a tooltip there. So that's kind of how that works. And like I say, you just have to get used to how iTunes, does things with your tracks and that type of thing. Now, I've actually deleted that from my iTunes library, so once I reconnect this to my Macintosh and tell it to sync the music again, it will go ahead and remove those songs. I probably will continue to use my Victor Stream and my cell phone for most of my music play, and that's just what I prefer. It's a personal preference. Certainly the iPod is great at doing that, and hats off to Apple for making it as accessible as it is. But the main thing I use the Touch for is its other functions, its PDA functions, the third-party apps, that type of thing. But certainly if you also want to use it as your player, feel free. It works, and it works well. Okay, so let's go back to the home screen here. Press the home button on the bottom.
Portrait.
And it goes back to the portrait setting on the home screen. All right, let's go ahead and try to do a little web browsing. like I said, I have gotten a little better at typing on this, and I'll go ahead and show you that. I know last time we had tried, I think, on the first podcast to go to blindcooltech.com. Let's go ahead and give that another try so I can show you how it handles streaming audio. It will do some streaming audio. MP3 and that type of thing. It doesn't do Flash. It doesn't have that ability. And there are a couple of caveats I found to browsing the web. It works for what it does, but if you're used to browsing on a computer, either on Windows or on the Mac, you are going to probably, find it a bit lacking. You can navigate between different elements, like different headings, different links, form fields, that type of thing. And you can go to the previous and next item. There is no search, so there's no way to search for text on a page. There's no links list or anything like that. And I have found that if you go to a page where the links aren't labeled, which, of course, the web developers should be doing that, and shame on them if they don't, but it will just say, like, link image. It won't tell you the URL of the graphical link, and I haven't found a way around that yet. Also, sometimes if you need to get to the top or the bottom of a page, I haven't found a really easy way to do that other than just touching different parts of the screen to go to different parts of the page and then, you know, flicking left and right from there. So that's some things to be aware of. But anyway, of course, for the iPod Touch, you will need to be connected to a Wi-Fi network. And for the iPhone, you can use Wi-Fi or your cell provider's network. So let's go ahead and open up Safari. It's down on the bottom again, so I'm just going to touch the bottom right.
App Store.
And let's just flick to the left.
Safari.
Double tap that. Okay. Now what I'm going to do here, I'm going to switch to landscape. It looks like it already did. And I'm going to turn it horizontally. So what we need to do here, it'll load the last page I was on, which I don't know what that was. Let me see. Okay. Let's try to find the address bar here. I think it's...
Landscape.
Let's see. Let's kind of tap, touch around here.
Back. Button.
Okay.
Forward. Dip. Back. Front. YouTube. Bookmark. Tabs. Link. Image. Drop link. Tabs. Button. 97% battery.
Okay.
Link. Image.
Let's see. See, this page isn't
image
labeled very well.
Welcome to First Alert.
Yeah, I was looking at the First Alert website. I wanted to see if it would... I actually wanted to test that because they have some unlabeled links. The First Alert page, they make, of course, smoke detectors, carbon monoxide alarms, that type of stuff. But I went to that page last night to see how it would handle unlabeled links, and that's how I discovered that issue where it doesn't tell you the URL. Okay.
Landscape.
Okay, so let's try to find the address bar here.
Address.
There we are.
First Alert.
All right.
.com.
Double tap
address.
That.
First alert smoke alarms.
Okay.
Carbon monoxide.
Now then.
http://cleartext.
All right. So what you'll have once you double tap on the address is you'll have the on-screen keyboard. The first thing I would do is right to the right of that, there's a thing that says clear text. And if we select that, it'll remove the address that's in there. It'll clear that out. So let's do that.
Clear text field is editing.
Okay. And you can tell, too, if you need to double tap on the text field or if it's already editing. If it says text field is editing, then you know that your system focus is in that box. If it says double tap to edit, then you need to double tap the screen to actually place your insertion point in that box. All right. So typing, it takes a little practice, but it's very doable. What I found the best way to do it is... And this would apply to portrait and landscape keyboards. And the good thing is, once you double tap on an edit field, if you're in portrait or landscape, even if you turn the device, it will not change it on you until you get out of the text field by, you know, double tapping something or going to another window. But the way I found to do it, if you know where the keys are on a QWERTY keyboard, the best way to do it is to start and find the place where you think a key might be. So, for example, we wanted to go to Blind Cool Tech. So we know we're going to be on the bottom row, kind of in the middle of where that row would be. And then if it says a letter that's higher up, for example, like F or G, you know you have to go down a little bit. If it says something like X or V or something like that, what you can then do is just flick once to the right and move to the next letter. And then, of course, double tapping on the screen inserts the letter that it spoke last. So we are in the landscape keyboard. Let's go ahead and find the B here. And I landed right on it. Okay, I think I did. Let me just swipe right and left. I want to make sure it didn't say V. See, it did. It said V instead of B. So I swiped once to the right. Now we are on the B. So let's double tap it. There we go. And now it's typed out the B. Okay, L. We know that's going to be on the second row from the bottom, actually the third row if you consider the period and the space and that type of thing. So let's, and it's going to be over to the right more, so let's touch somewhere around there.
I.
Okay. So we need to go down slightly.
J.
J. See, we're pretty close. Let's just go ahead and swipe twice to the right.
K. L.
There we go. Double tap it.
L.
All right. The I, that's going to be a little bit higher up, so it's because it's in the third row of letters.
I.
And there it is. Let's double tap.
I.
Now, I can go faster. I'm just kind of explaining it to you as I go. I'll go ahead from here, and I won't explain each thing. I'll just do it at the pace I can go, and it's a little bit faster, and you can kind of get an idea of how fast you can go, and I'm sure probably some people can actually go faster than I can. So we need to get do an N here. Double tap that. Okay, we need the C. There it is. Double tap that. Okay, the O, that's going to be on the right. And another O. And now we need another L. Okay, we need the T. All right, now for the .com, we can do it two ways. We can type the period, or there is a .com option that we can just press that will automatically insert that, and that's on the very bottom row of the on-screen keyboard.
Slash. Period.
Just for the heck of it, type a few more letters. I'll do the period, C-O-M, and we'll do it that way. So there's, we're on the period. Let's double tap to insert that.
Period.
All right, now we got to do C-O-M.
R.
All right, there we are. We should have it. So there you go. That's typing. Now, the go button on this is on the bottom right. Usually that's where you'll find the go or the search button, on the bottom right of the screen.
Delete.
I don't want to do that.
More. Numbers.
That would turn the keyboard into the numbers. Let's keep going to the right.
Period. Slash. Dot com. Go.
There's the go button. So when I double tap that, it will... the on-screen keyboard will disappear, and it should load this page.
Landscape. Blind Cool Tech Podcast.
There we are. It's loading it.
Web page loaded.
All right. Now, what I've found the best way to do this, if we just touch somewhere on the screen to kind of get us into the web content area.
Image. Archive. Link. Image. Elinoff Grossman's Cole. Listen to an audio, www.newvoicerecordingwatch, link, discreet, no out, www.visionaids for the blind.
Okay, that's the advertisements. Now, to get down to the actual podcasts, let's go by heading. To do that, we're going to use another gesture here. If you imagine turning a dial, you take your two fingers and you turn like a volume knob or something like that, that's kind of what you do here. So you take two fingers and you turn it to the left or to the right. Let's do headings in this case. So I'm going to use the virtual dial here.
Links. Form controls. Visited links. Non-visited links. Images. Static text. Zoom. Characters. Words. Headers.
Headers. There we go. And now, if we flick up or down, it will take us to that next element. So I will do that. I think if we flick down, it should take us to the next heading.
Google Tips, heading level 2, link, Sky Taylor Career, heading level 2, link, Policies 22C, heading level 2.
Okay, see, we're down at the bottom of the page. I think we're down toward the bottom. Let me see if I can tap or touch somewhere on the screen and get us a little more to the top.
30.9, join Larry for the Rock Hunt. 30.9, jump back, button, forward, back, shares tips about accessible searching, December 11th, 2007, Larry.
See, we're on the bottom, and I don't know of an easy way to get to the top of the page. Let me try this. Sometimes if we touch the address bar, or if we find that, it'll do that.
Tabs, button, bookmarks, utility, forward, dip, back, shares tips about December 11th, 2000, August 8th, 2005, Wisconsin, October 6th, 2005, Skype.
Or sometimes if we switch to portrait or landscape, that'll also work. Okay, now let's see if that
landscape
works.
30.9, December 11th, 2007, Larry. Sky talks about as Mark describes and demonstrates this screenless.
Okay. See, so
tabs.
It's definitely
utilities.
If you have a big page
forward
like Blanco Tech, it can be hard sometimes to go to the very top of the page. I'm just kind of feeling around here. If I can find the address bar,
January 2nd, 2006, Mark Mulcahy.
We can, we might be able to get to it that way.
Tabs, button.
Okay, so,
Mark describes
I can't seem to get to that, but you kind of get an idea of how it navigates.
January 2nd, policies 22C.
I'm just flicking left and right there. All right. Let me show you one more site so I can show you how it deals with a form. Since I can't get to the address bar in this case, let's just press the home button.
Home. Portrait.
And then we will reload Safari here.
Video. Safari. Landscape.
And we'll do
Safari.
Do landscape. Right. That's fine. Okay. Let's go to BibleGateway.com, and we'll look up a Bible passage. That will give us a form to deal with. Now here, I think the address bar was... I'm in landscape again, so I've got it facing horizontally.
iPod. Status bar item. iPod. 935A image. 935A landscape.
Let's see if I can get to the address bar here.
Tabs. Book. Utility. Forward. Back. Google. Search. Address.
Here we are.
Link cool touch.
Okay, let's double tap that.
Address. Dot com.
All right. So the first thing, again, I want to do is clear the text that's in there. I'll clear that out. So let's find the clear text option.
U. L.
Just kind of touching the letters here.
R. Delete.
Okay, let's see.
E. HTTP. Colon slot clear text.
There it is. Okay.
Clear text.
The other little caveat, well, not really a caveat, but the way this works, too, is... depending on which direction you're facing the iPod, the QWERTY keyboard may appear, you know, you can have it landscape, you know, in one direction or the other, either way. So, and sometimes I found when you turn it, you don't always know which direction landscape it's going to face. So you may have to turn it 180 degrees, but I think I've got it facing the right way now. So let's go to BibleGateway.com. So I'm going to go ahead and type that. I need to get to A here. Let's see.
E. A.
There we are.
A.
All right, let's see. Actually, let me see what I've typed so far. I think I made a typo there. Let's see.
A.
Let me go back. Okay, Bible gate. Okay, so I need to type the T. Okay, I know where I'm at now. Bible gate. Okay, the T.
T. T. E. E.
And we can flick right to the left once for W.
W. W. Q. Shift. Z. Q.
The shift, by the way, if you press that, it will capitalize the next letter.
A. A.
Okay, the Y.
Why?
And go down to the bottom row.
Slash. Period. More. Period. Slash. Dot com.
I'm just going to do the dot com this time.
Dot com.
All right. There we are. Let's go ahead and do go, and we'll see if I did type that right. I didn't say much on that one because I wanted to see, you know, how... I wanted you to see how it, you know, typing, how you could do it, you know. And that's about as fast as I can go. Now, you'll notice it spoke, you know, some of the letters twice because it says the letter, and then when you double tap it, it does... speak it as it's inserted. You can change that actually in the voiceover settings, but all right, let's go ahead and do go here.
Delete. period, slot, dot com, go. Landscape, portrait.
Okay. And we'll see
web
if
page noted.
We'll see if I typed that right.
Landscape, portrait. You can limit available versions in your...
Yes, I did. Okay. So now we need to get to the search box. This is in landscape mode now, I think.
Quick search. Heading level 3. Editor's picks from the new Bible... Quick search. Editor's picks from the new Bible Gateway Store. Heading... Bible. Heading level 4.
Oh! Okay, it's going by headings. I think I'm in still in portrait. Okay.
Portrait.
See. Gateway. This is one thing that does annoy me about this is... It can be very hard to get this to stay in portrait
landscape.
Or landscape. Okay, I've got it turned this way. Let's hope it stays that way. Okay, there we go. So we need to get down to the search. So.
Mobile friendly page. Print English. Image. Capital A. Capital A. Link. Capital A. Link. Capital. Text field. Tabs. Button. Text field. Search. Text. Tabs. Bookmarks. Tabs.
Okay, let's... Let's...
Quick search. Heading
see if we
three.
Can go back to the top.
Link. Image. Quick... Enter the Bible passage. E. G. John. 3. Text field. New international text
okay,
field.
See, it's... Okay, I've got the iPod Perfect. Facing backwards. That's part of the issue. Let me turn it...
Landscape.
This way. And see if it will. Okay.
Portrait.
Okay.
Landscape.
Yes, stay in landscape.
Portrait.
Okay, let's see. All right.
Landscape. Portrait.
Yeah, this is one reason why. Fortunately, not all apps do this, because it is kind of annoying.
Landscape. Address.
All right. So, let's go ahead and see if I can get to the search field here.
Address. Google. Reload. Text field. Portrait. Landscape. English. N. Pop-up button. Printer-friendly page. English. N. Image. Capital A. Link. N.
Okay.
Enter the Bible passage. E. G. John. Quick search. Heading, enter the text field.
All right, so that's the field we want. Let's go ahead and do a search for John 3. Now, once I double tap on this, it will keep it in landscape mode, and it won't switch on us. But that's the field, and it says double tap to edit. So we'll have to do that to actually put up the on-screen keyboard.
Text field is editing.
Okay, now this one we'll have to type a number then. Let's do a John 3. How about that? Because that's got John 3:16, which, of course, is a very famous verse. So, we have the on-screen keyboard. Now, let me see what direction I have to face this.
Passage lookup. Link. R. W.
Okay, I got to turn it the other way. Okay, so we need J.
I. U. I. L. K. J. J.
J, okay, and then O.
Passage lookup. O.
It does keep some of the other content on the page, too, on the screen, while it, with the on-screen keyboard also.
U. K.
Okay, we need the H.
B. K. H.
There we go.
H.
And N.
Space. H. B. N. M. N. N.
Okay, now we need a space here.
Space.
All right, now to type the number 3, there's a... button or item on the screen on the bottom left that turns it from a letter keyboard into numbers.
More. Numbers.
So if we double tap that.
More. More. Letters.
And then it says more letters because the item changes to letters. Okay. Now we just need to find 3.
4 more search options. 6.
Okay, we're on 6. Let's just flick back or to the left 3 times.
5, 4, 3.
There we go. Double tap that.
3.
Okay. Now what we need to do is we need to actually, there's a pop-up button or a combo box to choose the version. Let me just touch the top part of the screen, and that'll take us back to the web page contents. The on-screen keyboard will still be there until we double-tap something else, but that's okay.
9:44 a.m. New international version. Pop-up button.
Oh, what do you know? I landed right on it. Okay.
Double tap to activate the picker.
It says double tap to activate the picker. And that's what we want to do. So when I do that, it will close the on-screen keyboard, and we'll be focused on this control.
New international version. Selected. Picker item. Adjustable. Swipe up or down to change the value.
Okay. So one of my favorite translations is the New Century version. That's a good one. So I'm going to go ahead and flick down, and as we do that, it'll select other items here in this combo box.
English. N. Luther Bible One-Top English. New International Version. New American Standard. The Message. Amplified. New Living Translation. King James Version. English Standard Version. Contemporary English Version. New King James Version.
Do the New Century Version here.
New Century Version.
There we go. And double tap that.
New Century Version. Selected. Picker item. Adjustable.
Okay. Now I think there's a done button that we have to select here to actually close that. Let's see.
Back. Button. New Century Version. Done. Button.
There we go. Double tap that.
Done. New Century Version. Pop-up button.
And now there should be a submit here or to search if we flick to the, if we keep going.
Search the Bible. Button.
There we go. Double tap that.
Search the Bible. Web page loaded.
All right. Now, if we touch somewhere on the screen, we should be able to get some of the contents on this. Let's see.
John 3, New Century Version, heading level 1. John 3, New Century Update, button. John 3, New Century Version, passage results. Link, image, mobile friendly page. Link, printer friendly page.
All right, now let's go by... I think we're still on heading mode, so if I move to the next heading here, should be able to get to the content. Let's see.
Links. Words. Links. Headers.
There we go. Headers. Okay, let's see.
John 3, New Century Version, heading level 1.
Okay.
John 3, John... Passage result, link, image, mobile friendly, printer friendly, English, N, image, capital A, link,
I'm going the wrong way, let's see.
Mobile, link, passage, John 3, New Century, update, question, John 3, heading left, Nicodemus comes to Jesus.
All right, now if we just wanted to read this, if we do a two-finger swipe down, that's the say all command, and it should just start to read this nonstop. Let's see.
Nicodemus comes to Jesus. Heading level 5. 1. There was a man named Nicodemus who was one of the Pharisees and an important Jewish leader. 2. One night Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Teacher, we know you are a teacher sent from God, because no one can do the miracles you do unless God is with him. 3. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot be in God's kingdom. 4. Nicodemus said, But if a person is already old, how can he be born again?
He cannot enter his body. So that's how that works. And it will move, you know, as you, as it reads, it will move the voiceover cursor, and it will do the entire page if you wanted to, not just the screen. So, but anyway, so that's kind of how web browsing works. Again, it's there can be some frustration with it, always switching from portrait to landscape and trying to get, you know, exactly where you want to on a page. But, you know, and for what it does, it does work. So, all right, let's go ahead and go back to the home screen here.
Home. Portrait.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a look at, I did get an email, somebody wanted to know how the voice memo feature worked. So let's go ahead and do that. Here's another difference between the iPod Touch and the iPhone. The iPhone has a built-in microphone, whereas the iPod Touch does not. You have to connect an external one. Now, one does come with it. It's part of the headset. So right when I have that connected here, you won't be able to hear the speech, but it'll just be for a minute. Let's go ahead and open up the Voice Memos application.
Settings. Voice Memos.
There we go. Double tap that.
Voice Memos. VU meter. Minus 20 VU. Image. Record. Show recordings. Button.
I don't think I have any recordings in here. Let's see if I do. I don't think I do.
Show recordings. Voice memos. Done. Select empty list. 0%. Share. Dim. Delete. Dim.
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
Share. Zero. Empty list. Done. Select voice memos. Done. Done. Select VU meter.
Okay. So what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to pause the recording here and plug in the headphones for this so the microphone will actually work. And then once it's recorded, then I'll unplug those again so you can hear how it sounds. So I'll be back in a minute. Okay, we're back on the recording, and I've got the headset plugged in now with the built-in microphone. So again, you won't be able to hear the speech at this point, but I'll tell you what's going on. I'm going to unlock my screen here. Okay, so double-tap the unlock button. Okay, now what I'm going to do is double-tap the record button, and that will start the recording here, and then we'll record a brief memo here. Okay, we are recording now, and it does a little ding when it starts to record, and there is a pause button here. There's a pause and a stop button, and that's all there is. So we are recording at this point, and we will see how the audio quality actually is. I don't know actually where the microphone actually is on this headset. I'm not totally sure, but it does seem to do pretty well. All right, I'm going to go ahead and stop this. Double tap the stop button here. Okay. All right, then. So there we are. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pause this again and go put this headset away for this, and then we will go ahead and see how it sounds. So I'll be back in just a second. All right, so we are back on the recording here, and now let's go ahead and do show recordings, and let's see what we get.
Record. Button. Show recordings. Button. Show recordings. Voice memos.
Okay, we are recording now.
Oh, that's pretty good quality.
And, there's a little ding when it starts to record, and there is a pause button here. There's a pause and a stop button, and that's all there is. So we are recording at this point, and we will see how the audio quality actually is. I don't know actually where the microphone actually is on this headset. I'm not totally sure, but it does seem to do pretty well. All right, I'm going to go ahead and stop this.
Yeah, very good quality. Very good quality. That is very good. That's actually the first time I've tried that feature. So, very good. All right, I'm going to go ahead and delete that memo. No reason to keep that, probably.
Done. Selected. Button. Paused. 9:52 a.m. More info. Button.
Yeah, more info. What does that give us? Let's see.
More info. Voice memos. Button. Info. 9:52 a.m. 39 seconds. Recorded on Saturday, November 14th. 2009. Trim memo. Button. Share. Button.
Okay.
Trim 9-fit info. Voice memos. Button. Voice memo. Voice memos.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and delete that then.
Done. Select 9:52 a.m. November 14th. More info. Non-percent. Dimp. Share. Dimp. Delete. Dimp. Button. Share. Non. More info. 9:52. Paused. 9:52. More info. Zero per share. Delete. Delete. Delete voice memo. Button. Cancel. Delete voice memo. Button. Delete voice memos.
All right, there we go.
Done. Empty list. Non-percent.
All right, then. So that's how the voice memo feature works. Let's go ahead and go back to the home screen here.
Home. Voice memos.
All right. So that's how that works. Okay, while we're still on page one of the home screen, before we go to page two, let me go ahead and show you the weather application. That's kind of a nifty app. And I've got my city added in there, but I'll delete it and then go ahead and re-add it again so you can kind of see how that works. It's a good, quick way to get the current conditions and the weather for different cities. So let's go ahead and find the weather app here.
Weather.
And there it is, right next to Voice Memos. Let's go ahead and open that. St. Louis, that's where I'm at. I'm going to go ahead and delete that out of there.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Yahoo Weather.
And then
updated. Edit cities. Button.
Edit cities. I'm going to go ahead and delete this, and then I'll go ahead and re-add it again, and then I'll show you the info that it gives us.
Edit cities. Add. Button.
Add. I don't want to do that.
Weather. Done. Select delete switch. Button. On.
Let's double tap that.
Delete switch. On. Celsius. Fahrenheit. Select cell powered by Yahoo. Street. Delete switch. Button. On. Street. Lewis.
It says Street Lewis. But street. I'm gonna select that.
Lewis. Reorder. Button. Fahrenheit. Reorder. Street. Delete switch. Button. Off. Delete switch. On.
Okay, now it should delete it. Let's see.
Street. Lewis. Delete.
There we go. Double tap that.
Delete. Add. Button. Weather. Done. Select.
Okay.
Fahrenheit. Select.
So there we are. We have no cities now. So I want to go ahead and add St. Louis here. So we'll go back to add.
Done. Weather. Add. Button. Add. Empty list.
Empty list. Okay.
Okay,
now we got the QWERTY keyboard, and it wants to know, okay, what city do we want to add? Now, we're still in portrait mode in this case, so I've got the iPod facing vertically. I find in some ways, I know some people find the landscape keyboard easier. It's bigger, but in some ways I find the portrait one a little bit easier to type on just because the space and all the other keys on the bottom aren't totally like at the very edge of the screen. But that's just me, but the portrait keyboard I do find pretty easy, though. So let's go ahead and type St. Louis here. Let's get to the S.
C. S. S. Y. T. T.
I don't know if there's a period on the bottom or not on this particular keyboard. Let's see.
Space. Search. Space. More. Delete. M.
Looks like there isn't, so
delete more. Space.
I'm just going to type the space, and we'll just type the word Lewis then. Now, for a lot of those letters, like L, O, U, I didn't even try to, an I there, I didn't even try to touch that particular letter. It was on the same row, so I just did the flick left and right to get to those. Okay, now we need to do a search here.
Space.
So I touched the space, and now if I swipe to the right a few times, we should get to the search.
Search.
There it is.
Search.
And let's see what we get here.
R.
And we still got the QWERTY keyboard up, but let's.
Space. Street. Lewis. ML.
There we are. St. Louis, Missouri. Now the QWERTY keyboard, I think, is still on the screen, but that's okay.
Cancel. Street. Q. Street.
Okay, I
Lewis.
Think if I just double tap that.
Street. Add. Button.
And there we are. I think we've got it.
Weather. Done. Selected. Weather. Add. Weather. Done. Switch, street.
Yep, it's added. So that's how you add a city. So let's go ahead and double tap on done.
Delete done. Selected. Done. Street. Lewis.
All right.
High 69 degrees Fahrenheit. Low 52 degrees Fahrenheit.
And we could now go ahead and swipe to the right to read this, but let's just go ahead and do the two-finger flick down for the sale, and I think it'll read the entire forecast. Let's see.
High 69 degrees Fahrenheit, low 52 degrees Fahrenheit, currently, partly cloudy, currently, 54 degrees Fahrenheit, Saturday cloudy, high 69 degrees Fahrenheit, low 52 degrees Fahrenheit, Sunday rain, high 58 degrees Fahrenheit, low 50 degrees Fahrenheit, Monday rain, high 53 degrees Fahrenheit, low 45 degrees Fahrenheit, Tuesday rain, high 52 degrees Fahrenheit, low 46 degrees Fahrenheit, Wednesday rain, high 57 degrees Fahrenheit, low 43 degrees Fahrenheit, Thursday partly cloudy, high 56 degrees Fahrenheit, low 45 degrees Fahrenheit, Yahoo Weather, blink, updated, November
15th,
Yahoo Weather.
So that's how the weather app works. Very nice. If you want to get your weather conditions for a certain city. So, all right, let's go ahead and press the home button. go back to the main screen. All right, let's go ahead and go to page two here. As you add more applications to your iPod Touch or iPhone, you know, it'll fill the screen and then it'll make a new page for the applications. And a lot of the third-party apps I've got are on page two. There's a few that are on the first page, but there's a few applications that I want to show you that are really cool. All right, so let's go ahead and swipe to the right here.
Voice memo, notes, clock, couch, setting, iTunes, alt, page 1 of 2.
Double tap that.
Page 1 of 2, weather.
Okay. Weather, now what that is, that's a different application. That is for listening to the NOAA weather broadcasts in different parts of the country. There's a few apps here I want to show you. Let's see what we've got here.
Weather. End of the run. Power. Skype. My first day ever. Online. Wonder Radio.
Okay. I think on the first podcast I did show you the XM Sirius satellite radio app, so I won't do that one again. Here's a little application that's kind of neat.
Online. Ever. My first aid.
iFirst Aid. It's a first aid reference. It's free. And it's a good thing to have in case you would ever have to maybe help somebody that has an injury or something like that. I'll go ahead and show you how it works. It's fully accessible.
My first aid. Home. Button. Tip. Button. Tip. CPR. Button. Button. Poisons.
Let's go ahead and do poisons. So if we double tap that.
Poisons.
Okay. Now, sometimes what you'll have to do with some of these apps is just touch a certain part of the screen just to get into the content area, and then from there you can flick left or right.
2, 911. If unconscious, call. Image. Check for safety.
Okay. And for each of these items, too, you know, check for safety.
Remove contaminated. 3. Remove contaminated clothes.
Remove contaminated clothes.
4. Clear and open airway. 5. If not breathing, begin CPR. 6. Note key details of poison.
Okay. For more details on any of those items, you can just double tap on it.
Note key details of poison. Image. Home. Button. Any vomited material. Fluid. Burns around the mouth. Fluid. Berries. Fluid. Tablets. Fluid. Note any information about the nature of the poisoning incident. Fluid. Tablets. Fluid. Berries. Fluid. Burns around the mouth. Fluid. Any vomited material. Fluid. Syringe. Needle. Drug container. Fluid. ETC. Home.
Okay, so that's a nice little app. It's good for reference, and it's fully accessible. Button. All right, let's go back to the home screen home. Here.
My first aid.
Okay.
Skype.
Okay, we have Skype on the iPod Touch, and I'm not going to do that one this time because there's still a couple of accessibility issues with it. The contacts screen doesn't read properly. That's supposed to be fixed in the next release, I think. The dial pad does work, though, and you will, of course, for the touch, have to have you'll have to have a microphone connected externally for that to work, at least if you want to, you know, talk to someone with that. So let me show you a couple other apps here.
Power Search.
Okay, Power Search. This is a cool app. This is a free one also, and all these you can get from the iTunes App Store, and I am going to show you how to do that here in just a little bit. What this is, it's actually made by Wayfinder, the same folks who make a Wayfinder Access for the Symbian phones. And what it will do is it will establish your current location, and with the iPhone it does it via GPS. With the iPod Touch, it does it through your wireless network. It's able to determine your location, and it will tell you what businesses are around you. You can do a search, and it will tell you, you know, based on that search, what's close to you. It doesn't give you turn-by-turn directions. It doesn't talk that way. It does show a map of how to get there, which, of course, we wouldn't be able to see that, and there's really no way for that to be described, but, you know, the other parts of it are fully accessible. So, let's go ahead and open up Power Search. Double tap on the screen here.
Power Search button.
All right.
Heart underscore info under. Look map. Select locating you.
Locating you. So it's just trying to figure out where I'm at here, and then we can actually do a search. This would certainly be good if you were in a new city or something like that. Although, well, since this one doesn't give you directions, you know, you would need another app for that. Now, on the iPhone, there is Navigon, which is for GPS. Although another thing that this power search will do, which is good, is it will also give you the phone number of business, so you don't have to deal with, you know, directory assistance or trying to look up a number that way. It will give you the address and phone number of businesses. All right, let's see if it's located me.
Now, locating you. Now, search. Button. Category.
Let's do a categories here.
Search. Category. Button. Category. Categories.
And we've got several of them.
Heart underscore airport. ATM. Bars. Cafe. Cinema. Ferry terminal. Golf course. Hospital.
Oh, let's do hospital. What the heck? You just double tap on that.
Hospital. Categories. Button.
And what it will do now is tell you a list of hospitals that are close to you.
Hospital. Heart underscore info empty list. Map. Button.
That's interesting. Unless it's still thinking.
SSM.
There we go.
SSM. St. Heart underscore. Heart on St. Louis State Hospital. 5400 Arsenal Street. 1. St. Louis Street. Louis City. Distance. 1.7 miles.
And there we are. So it gives it to you closest, and then it branches out from there.
SSM St. Mary's Health Center. 6420 Clayton Road. 2. St. Louis Street. Louis County. Distance. 2.6 miles.
So there we go. Now, what if we wanted to do a search? Oh, let's see. Oh, I don't know. Pizza's always good. Let's search for any place that pizza related around here. So let's go back to the search button.
Select specialty hospital. 6,100.
Have to find it here.
St. Louis Heart Hospital. Categories. Categories.
Let's see.
Categories. Heart underscore museum. Museum. Night.
Well, I'll just go to the end and we'll get to the search that way.
Railway. Rent. Restaurant. Shopping. Shopping. Theater. Tour. Underground. Map. Search.
There we go. Double tap on search.
Search. Search. Text field is editing.
And we're in the edit box, and we have the on-screen keyboard. So let's go ahead and type in the word pizza here.
F. K.
Let's see.
M.
Get over to the P's. We got to go.
P.
There we are.
P. H. I. I. More. Num. S. Shift. Shift. A.
There we go.
A.
Now, I don't know if the search button is right on the bottom right or not on this one. Let's see.
Search.
There we go.
Auto-correct search.
Double tap that.
Button.
All right. And let's see what we've got here.
Domino's Ferrero's Jersey Style Pizza. Imo's Pizza. Heart underscore Imo's Pizza. 2916 Gravois 8. 1. St. Louis Street. Louis City. Distance. 0.8 miles.
Mm-hmm. And what if we wanted more info about that place? Let me double tap it on the screen.
Imo's Pizza. Button. Details. Heart underscore Imo's Pizza. 2916 Gravois 8. St. Louis MO. 6, 3, 1, 1, 8, 1, 3, 4, 5. Show on map. Show route by car. Show route by foot. Plus 1. 3, 1, 4, 8, 6, 5, -2,127.
And there's the phone number. Now, on the iPhone, I think if you double tap that, it would actually call them. So, very nice app. There's another one that I've got, too, that's very similar to that. It's called Around Me, and it's a free app, and it does something very similar to that. So that's how that app works. Great to have if you're in a new city or something like that. I wonder if Wayfinder will ever come out with turn-by-turn directions for this platform. That would be kind of nice if they did that. All right, let's go back to the home screen. Okay, a couple more apps here I want to show you. Let me show you one of these weather applications that I've got. I've got two of them, and the applications for the iPhone and iPod Touch are usually pretty cheap. A lot of them are free. The ones that you do have to purchase, usually around $2 or $3, something like that. So let's go ahead and swipe to the right here.
NW U.S. rate weather.
I'll go ahead and show you the weather one. This one allows you to listen to different weather stations around the country. So double tap that.
Weather. Categories.
All right. And what this does is it kind of gives it to you by state.
Alabama. Alaska. Arizona. Arkansas. California. Colorado. Connecticut. Florida. Georgia. Hawaii. Illinois. Indiana. Iowa. Kansas. Kentucky. Louisiana.
We get down to Missouri here.
Manitoba, Maryland. Massachusetts. Michigan. Minnesota. Mississippi. Missouri.
There we go. Double tap the screen.
Missouri. Categories. Missouri. Capital H. Hannibal. 16.
They don't have St. Louis on here, unfortunately, but Hannibal's probably one of the closest ones that they've got for me, so I'll just double tap on that one.
Hannibal, Missouri. Button.
Yeah. Salino River.
Here we go.
See the appropriate flood statements for specific details. And now the extended outlook for the period Sunday through Friday. No hazardous weather is expected at this time. Moderate flooding will continue.
Okay, so that's how that works. Pretty nice. All right. Go ahead and back to the home screen here. So, how do you get applications, the third-party apps? How do you download them and that kind of thing? Well, there's two ways. You can either do it on iTunes on your computer. I actually prefer to do it on the touch itself, and then when you connect it to your computer, if you tell it to sync your applications, that's how you can back them up, and it's a good idea to do that. But I find it's much easier because it's less cluttered and it's easier to navigate through. There is an application that I've actually gonna download here and install. It's a free one, and it's called AOL Radio, and it gives you access to some of the America Online, your radio stations. They got some decade stations, that type of thing. And what I'm going to do here is we're going to go to the App Store, and I'm going to do a search just for radio, because I did get an email from somebody wanting to know about some of the radio apps that are available, and there's quite a few. There's a lot of them. So we'll do a search for just radio, and I'll show you some of the apps that are available for that, and then we'll get to the AOL radio item. It is in there. And we'll go ahead and install that. So the App Store is on the bottom right of the screen. Go ahead and find that here.
App Store.
Here we go. And
double tap to open.
Let me turn my volume down here just a little bit. Okay, here we go. Double tap the screen. Open that up.
App Store. Loading. Updates. Button.
And updates. I don't have any updates right now for any of my apps. Okay, let's get to the search.
Update. Emergency radio. Edrift, Incorporated, 0 stars, 5 installed, dip.
Yeah, it's already installed. Okay, I'm on the update screen. I installed an update for that. That's an app, emergency radio. It allows you to hear police and fire departments around the country. That's a pretty nice app, too.
Featured, category, top 25, search, button.
Search is what we want. Let's double tap on that.
Search, search, logos, search, text field.
All right.
Double tap to edit. College football search, logos, college search.
Let's double tap that for that search box. Okay.
Clear text.
And let's clear the text
clear
out
text.
Of there.
Search.
All right.
Search. Text field.
So, I'm just going to do a search for radio.
D, R, shift, Q, A, S, D, H, O. I, O, O.
There we go. And the search, again, should be on the bottom right of the screen.
Search. R. Search. Auto correction. With updates. Button.
All right. There we are. Now, let's see what we've got here.
Emergency radio. Pandora radio. Pandora Media. Incorporated. Radio. Intersect World LLC. Search. Radio.
Just to swipe to the right here. And it'll give you the price and
1,162 reviews. Pandora Radio. Pandora Media. Emergency Radio. Scanner 911. Look, police radio. Matthew Keys. Public radio player 2.0. Public radio, Wonder Radio.
Red That's a good app, too.
$6.99.
It'll give you the weather stations and a lot of other stations. You can search by country. It's a pretty cool app. I've got that one, too.
SiriusXM Premium Online. SiriusXM Radio Incorporated.
I demonstrated that one in my first podcast. It's a good app, too.
AOL Radio. AOL. Free. 3 stars. 727 reviews.
All right. That's the one we want. So let's go ahead and double tap the screen here.
AOL Radio. Search. Button.
Now, you can get a description of this if we just swipe to the right.
Info. AOL Radio. AOL. 3 stars. 717 reviews. Free. Button. AOL Radio powered by CBS Radio features over 200 stations that span more than 25 genres of music plus 150-plus CBS Radio stations from across the United States. For the first time, iPhone and iPod Touch users will be able to access hundreds of free music stations plus an extensive collection of popular terrestrial news sports talk programming including CBS Radio's WFAN, AM and 1010 Winds in New York, KLSX and Croc in Los Angeles, WXRT in Chicago, WVEE in Atlanta and more. Let us know what you think about AOL Radio and hear from our team at http://iblog.
Okay, so to install this, the way it works is, you'll remember it said a couple items back, free button. If there was a price to it, you would select that, and to purchase apps or music for that matter, you create a iTunes account, and then you can add your credit card to that or PayPal that to pay for the items. I use a PayPal myself for that, but this is a free app, so there's no charge for it. So let's swipe back to the left to that free button, and we'll select that.
Free button. Install button.
Let's see if there's any other info on this screen before we do the install.
AOL Radio powered by CBS Radio features over 200 stations. Screenshot. 717 ratings, 3 stars. Button. Tell a friend. Button. Report a problem. Button. Company. AOL. AOL Radio License Agreement. Featured. Button.
Okay. So let's just go back to that install button.
Telegram. 7. Screen. 8. Install. Button. Install. iTunes password. N0oxy.
Okay. So my iTunes account is my email address.
Password.
So in order to install applications, it wants you to type in your iTunes password. So I'm going to pause the recording while I type that in, and then we'll come back when we do the OK option. All right, I've typed in the password, and I'm just going to swipe to the right then to go to OK.
Cancel. OK. Button. OK.
Double tap the screen.
Alert. Your iTunes store password was incorrect.
Whoops.
Please try again.
Maybe I did mistype
your
that.
iTunes store password was incorrect.
Let me pause this again and try it one more time. All right. Hopefully I got it right this time. Let's see.
Password. Cancel. Button. Okay. Button. Okay. App Store.
There we go.
Double tap to open.
And now it's downloading. And in a moment here.
App Store.
There we are. It's done.
Double tap to open.
And now I should have AOL Radio on my home screen here. Let's find out.
Page 2 of 2. Music. Video. Music. AOL Radio.
And there it is. Let's go ahead and open it.
AOL Radio. Stations. What's new? Skinner.com. Genres. AOL Radio Top 10. Alternative. Best of. Blues. Christian. Christmas music.
So there's all the categories.
Classical. Comedy. Country. Dance electronic. Eclectic. Gospel. Hip hop rap. Indie. Jazz. Kids. Latino. Light sounds. Metal. News. Oldies. Pop. R&B soul. Rock. Soundtracks. Sports. Talk. Themes. World international. All stations.
You can do all stations.
AOL Radio. CBS Radio. Stations. selected.
Okay. Let's go, I don't know, let's do rock. How about that? All right.
Stations, favorites, recents, locals, but 100.7 WZLX, Boston 98.5 WNCX, 98.5 WNCX Cleveland's Classic Rock. Table index, adjustable. 98.100.7 WZLX, Boston's only classic rock, acoustic rock, acoustic, adult rock, rock that's all class, not all Dave Matthews, all Korn, all Metallica, all Nickelback, all Pearl Jam, all Springsteen, Beatles tribute, British Invasion, Buzz 103.1, Buzz 103.1 Florida's new rock alternative, Buzz Light, the lighter side of rock.
Let's try that one.
Buzz Light. Stations. Button.
Open that up and...
Rock. 92.9 Dave FM. Atlanta Station for Adult Album Alternative Music. 93 XRT.
Oh, I see.
Chicago's Finest Rock.
It's a... that's another category. Okay, let's try that one. Chicago.
93 Rock. Button.
Okay. That's a little harder rock than for my taste, but you get the idea. I went ahead and went back to the home screen there. So anyway, that's how you install an application, and that app is very accessible. A lot of the apps are very accessible with VoiceOver. I've seen a few that aren't. There was a Bible program that I was looking at that I was hoping would be actually accessible, but it wasn't. When you try to read the text, it just says button, it's not able to read the text, and that's unfortunate. But the majority of the apps are very accessible, and a lot of times, you know, the developers are willing to make the fixes. A lot of times, you know, it's, they just don't know that, there's a problem, and, the best thing to do is to let them know, and hopefully they're willing to fix it. But a lot of apps work great out of the box, like, you know, this one. So. That's kind of how that works. All right. I think I have covered everything on this one that I wanted to. I realize this is a lot to take in. And I do appreciate you listening to the whole thing. And certainly feel free to go back and replay any of this that that you might not have understood. Certainly nothing wrong with that. As always, would love to get your feedback, what you think. If you have any questions, comments, would love to know. You can contact me. My email address is N0OXY. That's my ham radio call also. N0OXY at charter, charter, .net. The iPod Touch and iPhone are great products. Apple's done a great job making them accessible, and it's great. I mean, that we as blind people can use this device. Yeah, it just locked my screen. It'll do that automatically after a time. But it will. You can use this without seeing it, even though it's a complete touch screen. You can use it, I would say, as much as a sighted person can in most cases, assuming the application is accessible. It's great, and it's a great device. And hats off to Apple. They are really leading the way with accessibility out of the box with the Macintosh and with the iPods and the iPhone. And I really do hope other companies follow suit, because that's the way it really should be. We should not have to be paying these third-party companies to develop these other products, these, you know, standalone products that are designed specifically for blind people at these high prices. There's no excuse for that. And we also should not have to be paying third-party companies to develop, you know, software and other things to make these devices accessible. The companies that make the products need to have the responsibility. That's where the responsibility should be, to make them accessible. And Apple has definitely seen that and done it well. And I hope that other companies follow suit, because there's, you know, accessibility is a right. It's not It's not a privilege. It's not something we should have to pay extra for. We have just as much right to have something accessible as anybody else does. So, anyway, everyone take care. And like I said, I'm going to try to record podcast number 12 for the Macintosh sometime soon. So definitely stay tuned for that. Till we talk again, take care, and God bless. And for some reason, if you're not able to hear anything else I do between now and Thanksgiving and Christmas, I hope you have a safe and happy holiday season at the end of 2009.